Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here and hope that the Lord blesses you as we worship together. Just a few announcements that I want to remind you of. Be sure to remember choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Small groups at 6 o'clock, Peavine and Good News. And then this week, Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, the NDI, Nazarene Discipleship International, our Sunday School Council. They will be meeting at 5 o'clock in the conference room. And then Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, is Super Summer Something. We had a great time this past Wednesday night. Had 101 people here Wednesday night, and yes, that's great. Appreciate the Trail Life group and all they did to provide for everything. We had a great time, and I think everybody that was here had a real good time. But this coming Wednesday night, we're doing something we have never done before. That's what the something in this stands for, that you just never know what's going to happen. Super Summer Something begins at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. The Journey Small Group is responsible for the program. Menu for Wednesday night is fried chicken, green beans, potato wedges, chocolate cake, and banana pudding. And that's not the best part. Cross Creek Bluegrass Gospel Group is going to be with us Wednesday night, and they will have the program. They'll be performing for us, and it'll be a blessing. And so there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. We do need to know if you're going to be here so that they'll know how much to prepare for. And if you're planning to be here, sign up in the foyer, or at the very latest, we need to know Tuesday at noon. Please, this is a major thing. We've got to know if you're going to be here. And so help us out with that and let us know. Next Saturday, our True North VBS kickoff will be happening, and that'll start at 11 o'clock. And it's a day of fun with bounce houses and bubbles and chalk and food. And we encourage your children to come and to be a part of this. Invite kids in your neighborhood to come and to be a part of this. And there are some flyers for Vacation Bible School out in the foyer. And Vacation Bible School is just about 2 weeks away. And so this is a kickoff for that, and it'll be a great time. Next Sunday morning, 9:30, the 9:30 experiment continues, and so come and be a part of that. Baptismal service will be at the end of the service next Sunday morning. We've got five that will be baptized next Sunday morning. We praise the Lord for that, and so be sure and be a part of that. There are a lot of other announcements in the bulletin. Thanks to Mary for getting out the calendar of events and all that's happening in June. You should have received that on Friday. If you did not, be sure and give us your email address so that we can be sure that you get that. And all of the weekly happenings are also on Facebook, and we appreciate that being there. So be sure and remember all the events. Thank you for being here. May God bless you. Let's worship the Lord together.
If you don't sign up for Super Summer Something this Wednesday and you show up to eat, you automatically go to cleanup detail and dishes. Just a little heads up there. Why don't we take a couple minutes and just greet those that are around you? Welcome them to our service this morning. Together. I could sing of your love. We fall down, we lay our crown.
We truly have every reason to rejoice. God is very good. And if you don't feel like he is, this morning I invite you to enter into this space with an honest and open heart. I ask you to be encouraged. I invite you to be encouraged. I invite you to join me in praying this morning. Lord, in you we have every reason to rejoice. You surpass all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our wants, all of our expectations. Because you're so good. You can't help but being good. And so I just thank you for that. I thank you for you. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to be people who respond to your goodness. That we can come to you with absolutely nothing and receive you in your fullness. And that we with happy hearts can say that it is enough. We thank you for being our everything. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4 and reading down through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I could hardly believe it that a song like this could make it in the pop charts. But there it was. You can see it, the title on the screen. I mean, it was a number one song in 1988 for 2 weeks, and then in 1989, when they gave out the Song of the Year awards, "Don't Worry, Be Happy" was the Song of the Year on the Album of the Year. What a title! I mean, and to me, and it may not have been this way. This may be something that you enjoyed, and if it is, I'm gonna pray for you. But the song to me was absurd. And we would play it this morning, but Facebook would be worried and not be happy. So anyway, that's kind of where we are. It appears that our world, or at least many people in our world, are not concerned about anything except being happy. You know, they just want to be happy, and then they proclaim themselves to be happy, and then tragically you read that some of those people who have proclaimed how happy they are some of the very ones who kill themselves, and everybody goes, why? They were happy. They had everything going for them, everything that we would think that would make someone happy, they had. And I found out a long time ago that happiness is what we look for, and we look for it so very much, but we rarely find it. If you don't believe it, just go out and talk to people going up and down the road today. They're wanting to be happy. They're wanting to be fulfilled. And I suppose if anyone in the world had anything to be unhappy about or something to worry about, it had to be the Apostle Paul. You remember, he is writing from a prison cell. He is chained to a guard. He has the very threat of imminent execution they could come in at any point and sever his head from his body, and nobody would have said anything in the Roman government. The only people that would have been unhappy about that would have been the Christian people. And yet, when I read through the book of Philippians, I find that Paul does not tell the Philippian Christians to be happy. But he does tell them to rejoice. He does tell them to rejoice. And from what I've been able to read about the problems that the Philippian Christians were going through, I mean, they had a reason to worry. Not only was there outward persecution, but there were also some inward problems in the church. And yet here is this imprisoned apostle writing to a group of persecuted, problem-bound Christians, and he says to them, rejoice. And the amazing thing about this is the second time that he has told them to rejoice. In chapter 3, verse 1, he tells them that. And then he repeats himself here in this passage of Scripture when he tells them in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, can I ask you a personal question? Please don't answer out loud. I don't want to embarrass anybody, okay? But if you were in a prison cell, a dark, damp prison cell, not like what we have these days, as Pastor Jack told us last Sunday morning. They're not like that. These were prison cells that you can't even begin to imagine. There was nobody concerned about the prisoners. Whether they were guilty or innocent, they all ended up at the same place. If nobody brought them food, they died. And if they died, nobody but their family cared. I mean, think about that for a moment. And yet here is this man who is going through all that he's going through, and he tells this church, rejoice. Now, you may be thinking right now, well, Pastor, that's all well and good for the Philippians, but they don't live in the 21st century America like we do, with all the pressures and the things that we have to deal with. You're exactly right. They had it worse. I mean, it'd be easy to think, well, they didn't have all these things. They didn't have all these pressures. No, they didn't. They probably lived a much easier, much better life than what we lived. Come on, smile. But we live in this, don't we? We live in this situation. We are here today. And yet if the Apostle Paul were writing to us today, can I tell you what he would be telling us? Rejoice. He would be telling us to rejoice. And Paul gives us an answer of how we can overcome worry and rejoice. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Don't worry, rejoice. The first thing that I want you to see, if we're going to overcome worry, if we're going to be able to not worry and rejoice, the first thing that you and I are going to have to do is we're going to have to pray for the peace of God. That's what he says here in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, how in the world can the Apostle Paul say rejoice when he knows the turmoil that they were in, when he knows the turmoil that we are in? And the one thing that he tells them to do, the place that he tells them to start, if they're going to be able to overcome all this situation, is to pray. Now, I'm not going to ask you this morning how many of you prayed for the service before you came. How many of you prayed last night? How much time are we spending in prayer? Pastor Jack, when we began to talk about the 9:30 experiment, and he said, I'll do the practice of prayer. I asked him, I said, how many people do you think will come to your Sunday school class? He said, zero. You know? Because prayer is one of those things that we talk a whole lot about, but when it really comes to putting it into practice, sometimes we find it very difficult to do. You see, he's not saying here to pray and present your requests or your complaints. He's not speaking about all those things. He's talking about that we can present our requests to God. And the praying that he's talking about here allows us to find the mind of Christ, not to change him, but to change us. Prayer has always been not about getting God to somehow come into agreement with us. Prayer has always been about getting our hearts and minds in agreement with God. And please understand, there is a vast difference there. There is a vast difference there. You see, a whole lot of the time, most of our praying is telling God what we want Him to do. Or as I found out many, many years ago when I was a youth pastor, and Pastor Gene handed out this little prayer book to everybody on the board. It was praying the scriptures. And one of the little title pages of that was that we often pray for stomachs and fenders. Well, now that caught my attention. What is he talking about? Stomachs and fenders praying. And the author went on to say that so often most of our praying has to do with our physical needs and praying that God will protect us on our way home. You're real quiet. And sadly, when I read that, that was the first thing that I realized, that so many of our requests are for is that somebody might be touched and healed. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with wanting to get home safe. And now more than ever. I won't tell you about my experience at Lowe's this past week. I was coming out of... Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you. Why not? I was coming out of Lowe's. I was coming back to the church. And you know, right there where you turn to go into Ruby Tuesdays, there's one lane, two lanes, and a turn lane. And the turn lane is where you go into Ruby Tuesdays. Well, I'm coming across that, and all of a sudden I see this car, and he's going this direction, and he gets over into the turn lane, and he just keeps going, regardless of the fact that the light was very, very red. And when I went through, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me see that." So you better be praying for your fenders. But that shouldn't occupy all of our prayer. That shouldn't occupy what we do. You see, God wants to know about our problems. And please understand, He does know about our problems. He wants to hear our petitions. But I do think that a whole lot of our praying ought to be some time in which we are praising Him for the things that He has done in us, through us, and for us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. There's some praise involved in that. And you say, well, Pastor, I know that we should praise Him. What all should we praise Him for? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because He is our righteousness. He is our sanctifier. He is our sustainer. He is our strong and mighty tower. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one who gives us peace. He is our shepherd. He saved us from the depths of sin. He has protected us. He is our elder brother. He is our soon-coming king. He is all in all. He is Lord. He is the lover of our soul. He is the one alone worthy to be praised. You got up this morning. I had someone come in tell me this morning that I have done more today than I've ever done before. And I kind of thought, what in the world? They said, you live to see the day. Now that was said to me by someone. I mean, think about it, folks. There's all that God has done for me. And you begin to think about all that He is doing and all that He has done. I mean, you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. You are loved in the kingdom. The power of God is on you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You begin to think about all this. And it is no wonder that the Apostle Paul says, despite all the things that are around him, that we ought to rejoice. That we ought to rejoice. I mean, we are His children. You know, He wants to hear from us. There is no doubt of that fact. But knowing what we know, why can we ever doubt? Why can we ever wonder? Because the Bible tells us that He is able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine according to His power that's at work within us. So you begin to think about all of that. You and I, if we're going to be able to overcome worry in our lives, we need to pray for the peace of God to be ours. And when you begin to think about all that He has done, how can we not have peace? But He doesn't stop there. He moves from praying for the peace of God to telling us that if we're going to overcome worry and be able to rejoice, then you and I really need to begin to think on the praiseworthy. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is any, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I'm telling you, it's no wonder that so many people are depressed and worry all the time. I've told you this before, but I quit watching the evening news a long, long time ago. I mean, sometimes we watch it, sometimes we don't, you know. But I really decided that I didn't need a daily dose of depression. I mean, really? Now, that doesn't mean we should be ignorant of everything that's going on in the world around us. But I'm telling you, if you begin and all you see is that all the time, I'm telling you, you're going to be depressed out of your mind. We're bombarded. We are bombarded with such negative stuff. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, there was a cartoon. Some of you are, that are my age will remember this. There was a cartoon called Gulliver's Travels. I won't ask those who remember that to raise their hand, you know. But, oh, thank you for that. Yeah. Do you remember the little guy in Gulliver's Travels? That every time something was said, the little guy went, "We're doomed." Some of these newscasters are worse than he ever was, you know. And the problem is, you talk to somebody sometimes at Walmart. I mean, I was in line the other day, and for some reason they didn't have all the registers, the self-serve registers open. And so I'm standing there, and the guy standing in front of me, and he turned around and looked, and he said, "Have you ever seen things as bad as they are right now?" Now, I know I look old. I mean, I got white hair, but he didn't have to say that, you know. That implied that I had seen a lot of years, which I have. Have you ever seen things as bad as they are? Well, it'd be better if I wasn't having to stand here waiting to check myself out. I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. But Paul, I mean, Paul begins to talk about this. And he says, whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The writer of the Proverbs, in Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we keep our minds on things that are not praiseworthy, all we're going to do is worry. Now, please understand that there is a vast difference between concern and worry. There are things that we need to be concerned about. Amen. There are things that we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about the salvation of our kids. We need to be concerned about the salvation of our neighbors. We need to be concerned about various things. But I'm telling you, as Uncle Buddy Robinson said, our God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the taters under those hills. He is our supply. It doesn't matter what Congress does. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. God is the one. And if all we think on is all this junk in the world, I'm telling you, we're going to be worried. We're going to be fretting about things that we cannot change, things that we cannot do. Can I tell you really what this word worry means? It actually means to be strangled. It's like taking your own hands and trying to strangle yourself to death. Now, I'm going to tell you something about our house, our family, okay? You're looking at the worrier in our house. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. No. She's concerned about things at times. I mean, I see that in her. But I'm the one that thinks that my mind constantly is running and that my mind is constantly roaming. Some of you are that way too. I see some fingers being pointed that you really don't need to do that. Worry is like being pulled in two directions. Susie, while she was in college, had a book about choir rehearsals, and part of her major in college was music, and inside that book on choir rehearsals was a picture of a all these horses and a guy on all these horses. And the caption underneath it said he mounted his horse and rode off in all directions. You'll have to think that through. I'll say it again. He mounted his horse and rode off in all directions. And it showed these horses in a circle. And they're just going every which direction. The Apostle Paul has already told us this one thing I do. This one thing I do. And he gives us this list of things that we should keep our minds on to keep us from worry. Isaiah said in Isaiah 26 verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And Paul says that we should think about the things that are true. Someone did a study one time and found out that basically only 8% of the things that we worry about actually come to pass. Which means that 92% of the things that we fret and we worry over are things that are not going to happen anyway. You see, let me tell you something. If you don't already know this, let me pass this along to you. The devil is a liar. And he will do his best to get our eyes and our minds on things that are surrounding us and try to keep our minds off of the things that are true. And that are from God. So he says, think about those things that are true. He says, think about those things that are noble and right. And there's a lot of trash in our world. And all you've got to do is watch TV or read a magazine or go online. And you're going to see all kinds of trash. You're going to have your minds filled with that garbage. And as the old computer programmer saying used to be, garbage in, garbage out. Noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. You see, the Philippians, they lived in a culture in which it was rampant with immorality. The city and the culture in which they lived, it was full of moral perversion. And Paul says that they need to think on things that are pure and lovely and things that are admirable. And you and I live in a world that is filled with moral perversion. Things that are not pure, things that are not lovely, things that are not admirable. And if we're not real careful, if we don't guard our hearts and minds, those things will invade. And when they begin to invade, it will lead to a destruction in our hearts and minds like we can't even begin to imagine. We're not even going to take time to talk about all the things that are out there. But you and I need to be thinking on things that are pure and lovely and admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Things that encourage us to do our best. Things that encourage us to live for God. Things that will do us good rather than harm. And the Apostle Paul says here, we're to think on these things. And I think what he is implying here is if we will think on these things, we won't have time to worry. And where do we find all these things? The Word of God. The songs of the church. I mean, you begin to think about all the things that we are surrounded with. I'm telling you, folks, we have more books than we've ever had in our entire existence. And if you don't have books in your hand, you can have books on here. I'm telling you, you have enough that you can fill your mind with things that are admirable and praiseworthy and excellent. All of these things are available to us like never before, and we spend our time with garbage. The prodigal son sat in the pig pen, eating the pods, the husks, all of this junk. And if you've never been by a pig farm, you don't know the half of it. And it says he would have filled himself with those things. And he came to himself and he said, the servants in my father's house are full. They have everything that they need. And here I am in the mud and the muck and the mire of a pig pen feeding on garbage. And if you and I are spending our lives looking at the garbage of this world, it will do something to our minds. It will do something to our hearts. It will change us in ways we don't want to be changed. So, you see, when you begin to look about this, the Apostle Paul says that you and I, if we're going to be able to rejoice and not worry, then we need to pray for God's peace. But we also need to be thinking about the praiseworthy. This next one, you can say, boy, you didn't think long and hard on that one, did you? But give me just a moment, okay? If we're going to overcome worry in our life, if we're going to be able to pray for God's peace and think about the praiseworthy, then you and I are going to have to practice the pattern. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace might be with you. Is that what it says? And the God of peace will be with you. I mean, he tells them to do more than just pray. He tells them to do more than just think. He gives them this pattern. He says, if you've seen this in me, this is Paul talking. He says, if you've seen this in me, then put it into practice. I mean, I suppose if there was anybody who had ever portrayed what he's talking about, it had to be Paul. He had an example that he had set forth, and it was the kind of life that he lived. I mean, it was so clear. I mean, in one place, you remember, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Isn't that amazing? How could he say this? And the only way he could say this, the only way that he could do this is because they had seen him do it when he was with them. They had watched, they had heard, they had learned. Put it into practice. Through shipwreck, through prison, through stoning, through destitution, all of these things, snake bite. That would have been enough for me right there. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, think about it. If this had been something that he had just talked about, it would be one thing, but they evidently had seen it, and he was bold enough to say, if you've seen it in me, you need to do this. Put it into practice. They say that if you do something for 31 days, that it becomes a habit. Okay? Now let me give you the negative side of that, okay? The negative side of that is, the positive side of that is, if it's a good thing, you'll begin to do it, and it will be complete repetition in your life, okay? If it is something negative, they say that it takes 90 days to break that habit. Three times as long as it does to develop it. Which means that if you and I have developed a negative habit, if you and I have started doing something that we shouldn't do, and it's just there, it's going to take us at least three times as long to get out of that habit as it did to get into that habit. The positive side of that is, if we begin to practice this, if we begin to do what the Apostle Paul has told us to do, if we can just do this for 31 days, it'll become part of who we are. You see, if you read your Bible, and you do that for a period of time, It's going to become so much of what you want to do. So much of what you need to do. So much of what's going to affect you in ways that you can't even begin to dream of. If you begin to do things like that, if you put into practice the praise and the thanksgiving and those kinds of things, if you begin to do that over a period of time, it will become so much a part of who you are and what you are that worry will not be able to take up as much space. And the peace of God will be with you. Did you hear that, or did it go right over your heads? And the peace of God will be with you. Thank you for one amen. I mean, think about that, folks. It's practicing. It's growing in grace. It's part of it becoming you and you with it. And worry at some point in time will be phased out of the picture. There'll still be concerns. But the strangling of ourselves, it'll be gone. Application. I love how the Apostle Paul tells us this. He tells us to practice the peace of God. Brother Lawrence, I don't think they really know who he is or who he was. Jack could tell us. He's just smiling. He's going to let me die this death right here alone. Talked about practicing the presence of God. I think you and I not only need to practice the presence of God, I think we need to practice the peace of God and allow Him to speak to us and allow His calm assurance to take over and know that He is in control. You see, we can think about those things that are praiseworthy. And so much of what we see and so much of what we hear and so much of what we do is not praiseworthy anymore. Do you realize that the addictions that are out there are just as prevalent in the church as they are in the world? And when we begin to think and seek God's peace, and we begin to think about the things of God, and we begin to put them into practice, those things can be pushed aside. Those things can be done away with as we do what Paul has said. But if we continue in the same pattern, in the same example, same old, we're never going to have peace. And when we seek God's peace, and we think about these things and practice this kind of lifestyle, we can be people who rejoice. People who have something to praise God for and about. And so I go back to the title, okay? The little song might have been as silly as could be. Don't worry, be happy. But this works. Happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes based on how we feel. But joy is something that lasts. Something that lasts. And that will keep us. That will keep us as we live out our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words that the Apostle Paul gives us here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that He encourages us to pray for Your peace. He encourages us to think about those things that are praiseworthy. But then He also tells us to put it into practice. I pray, Father, that You would help us. The world around us would try to shackle us with things that are not praiseworthy, that are not pure, that are not admirable. The world around us would try to convince us that everything is lost and there is no hope, and we're like the little guy on Gulliver's Travel. We're saying we're doomed, but our God says something totally different from that. And so we thank you this morning that we can trust you with our lives. We can trust you, and we can know, Lord, that you, through your power, you can do more than we can even ask or imagine. And so, therefore, if we'll just simply give it to you, release it to you, that you indeed can do things that we never dreamed about. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding, may it be ours in Christ Jesus. And the way that can happen is through your word, through what your word says, and through practicing the presence of God and practicing the peace of God and thinking about the things that you would have us think about. And so, Lord, I pray that in just a moment, as we take just a quiet time here, that if there's one or maybe more that they simply need to step out from where they are and come and either sit in these seats or bow here at this altar. Maybe they need to just give up the worry and say, Lord, I've fretted and I've given over to these things, and here it is, it's yours. I give it to you. Or maybe they're struggling with something that they simply need to come and say, Lord Jesus, here it is. I can't seem to break free, but you are able to set the captives free. So today, Lord, I give it to you. Maybe they just need to come and talk to the Father. I don't know what they need this morning, but you do and they do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us in the few quiet moments that we're going to have here in just a second, that if we need to pray, this place is not a place of disgrace. It's not a place of suspicion. It is a place in which we can open our hearts up before a God who loves us more than anyone else ever could, ever would, because you demonstrated your love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we can come boldly to you without fear, without reservation. We can come to the God who can give us peace. We thank you, Lord, for that. May you move on our hearts and our lives. With no one looking around, no music, nothing like that this morning, do you need to just come and pour out your heart to the one who cares about you more than you can even begin to imagine? Do you just need to come and talk to Jesus? I wouldn't try to tell why you're coming, but maybe you just need to come and talk to Jesus. Want anywhere before we go this morning? Want anywhere? Do you simply need to talk to the Father? Lord Jesus, how grateful we are for the opportunity that we have this morning to be your children, to serve you, to know that you are in control, that the devil would try to convince us that things are hopeless, but thank you that you are the God of all hope. And so we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to come and to present our needs and our burdens to you, knowing that you are greater than any problem that we have, knowing that you can release us and help us as no one else can.
And so this morning we give you praise, honor, and glory for that. Pray for this one who has come, that you would touch and help, give your peace as only you can. And for the good things that you're going to do in and through and for us because of our trust in you today, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad you were here this morning. Appreciate you being here. Please leave reverently as we pray with this one around the altar. And may God bless you. Remember all the activities that are there in the bulletin and that are on that newsletter. May God bless you. You are dismissed.